You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings. I am back. I have recovered from my heinous injury of falling from 1.5 Tim Herons, which, by the way, is shorter than 1.5 me's because I'm taller than Tim Heron. Anyway.
That's not even an argument. I don't know where Tim gets this from.
It's not close.
Tim, okay, one, I want to state this. Tim can outshoot me any day of the week.
Me too, for like, the record.
All three of us put together our best days. Tim Heron wakes up and outdoes us. Like, the man is a monster shooter. I'm not taking away anything from that. However, he's adorably tidy and sometimes...
He is. Anyway, we're not going to make this about Tim's height because this week's episode is brought to you by Taurus USA and Gunt Fudge. It's brought to you by Fudge is what it's brought to you by. It's brought to you by Taurus USA and Guns.com. Friggin', if you want more information about fine defensive firearms for personal defense and
passive
defense, then go to TaurusUSA.com. And if you want to buy those guns, go to Guns.com. And while we started this episode with Jack, he has a crippling case of IBS. I do mean crippling. Like, his body is... falling apart, just riddled with poop from
the inside. He also refused our suggestion of not eating 9 bean burritos from Taco Bell.
Yeah, so I don't understand why
that condition, you would do that. Probably not a good idea. His, and I quote, response was hashtag bet.
So it's just going to be me and Keith for this episode. We are going to jump right into it, and we are going to review John Wick 4. You know, we've talked about the John Wick series before on this podcast, and we all love the John Wick movies. Everybody loves John Wick. We love the movies. We like the commitment to sort of cinematic culture that the movies really embody with a lot of their callbacks and their emphasis on practical stunts versus CGI and things like that. So without further ado, how this is going to work is we're both going to have, now we're going to have 3 positive each and 1 negative because Jack, you know, is currently just exploding with diarrhea. So we're going to have, and we're going to go back and forth. So I'm going to say something good. Keith's going to say something good. We're going to do that until we get 2 or 3 each. Then we're going to come around to the negative thing, the thing we didn't like about the John Wick 4 film. So, starting first, I will go first with a thing that I liked, and it's very simple. Donnie fucking Yen. I loved Donnie Yen. I like Donnie Yen in general. I enjoy the kung fu movies that he's been in the past. I thought he was one of the best things about Rogue One, which is a movie that I think is fantastic all across the board, and he's fantastic in it. But his character was great. I loved everything about it. I loved that he was doing the blind guy who kicks ass bit again, because it's such a fun bit that he has done.
It is, and he does very well at it. Mm-hmm. He does well at both convincing you of the blind shit that he's doing and nailing the part, nailing the actual choreography and the kung fu that, like, yeah, I can't see you, but that doesn't matter.
He's so good at playing a blind guy that kicks ass that for a brief moment I had to Google. I was like, am I sure? Are we, is he blind for real? Because he's like, so good.
Are we actually casting a blind actor who can do this? Because that's awesome.
Right. He's so good at it. And I would ask a blind guy what they thought about it, but they've never seen it. So
there are parts in the movie. There's like the kitchen scene, right? Where he's going around.
Doorbells. Yeah.
With the doorbells. And like he's setting it up and he's got certain movements that he's doing that's like, oh yeah, you're blind. And right. Then he'll move again and he'll set himself up. And then like there'll be a missed shot or something. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how I would think that's exactly how a blind guy would handle that situation. It's like, oh, I know these fuckers are in here to kill me, and I'm gonna, you know, with good shooting technique, blast four or five rounds that way when the bell goes off, and one or two of them are going to do what they need to do. And that's how he handled the kitchen tech, the kitchen scene, the scene on the stairs near the end of the movie, in the final act, also excellent. Cause he's kicking ass 1 minute. And then he's like, I've got to find the stairs again. Hold on, guys.
Yeah. Hang on. One second. Oh, there we go. There we go. The only thing, and this isn't my like negative about the film, but I will say it did require a little bit more suspenders of disbelief when he's still using his hearing.
I'm going to touch on that quite a bit.
All right. So let's go to Keith for a positive thing, a thing that you liked.
I'm going to call out the firearm selection in this movie as a thing I liked positively. And it's not necessarily the specific firearms they chose, but their shift back in emphasis on what they're using. Like they use a variety of very common handguns. They're not super tricked out. Like the main bad guy, hench guy, has kind of a tricked out gun. John's TTI Pit Viper is kind of a tricked out gun. But yes, nothing is overly crazy. And where like movie one and movie two kind of had a bespoke feel, especially two, had a bespoke feel to the selection and everything like that, it kind of went crazy in three, and I'm happy they brought it back a little to like, these are firearms, he's gonna go do firearm things with it, and it's not really gonna matter because John's a competent ninja assassin and killer guy.
Right. No, I agree with that. I think that the gun selection got dialed back a little bit from the kind of the craziness of John Wick 3. And with John Wick 3, you know, you felt a little bit like you were watching a TTI commercial at times. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing. But
it definitely felt pushed. And there were times, and I'll call this out as a caveat to the firearms, because I did like the firearm selection. There were times in three and there were times here in four where like the firearms were clearly not acting like the firearms should act, especially the rifles. Like people were getting hit with rifle fire and be like, oh no, what a crazy random happenstance. And I'm like,
Oh, my rifle injuries. I think that it was better overall than three with regard to gun selection, because the thing about three that always drove me nuts was the product placement with the SIG MCP.
The tricked out TTI MPXs.
Yeah.
That like,
I was like, come on, this is
guys actually use those? No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. Now you, I will admit that like the average viewer watching that can't tell the difference between an MPX or whatever the frick it's called, an MPX and an AR, you know, that's shooting 308 NATO, for Pete's sake. So I get it. In the third movie, I agree. I thought they did better with the fourth movie with the gun selection, which brings me to, speaking of guns and how they behaved, one of my favorite things about the movie was the Hotline Miami scene. The overhead tracking shot of the Dragon's Breath shotgun. Listen,
that was fun. I had a lot of fun.
I don't care that that's not how Dragon's Breath works in the real world. I don't give a single solitary flying fuck that that's not how Dragon's Breath works. Because that scene,
pure cinematography, pure magic. It was beautiful.
Dudes got launched through walls. They exploded into a shower of flames. The fact that it was done as a single tracking shot was absolutely fantastic. And if you guys don't know what Hotline Miami is, go ahead and just type that little search string into your browser, and then go download it on Steam. And like, it, I assume people still do Steam, but yeah, Hotline Miami is, I mean, you can still get it. It's a phenomenal game. It has, it's literally has a 10 out of 10 on Steam, which is really tough to get. It's also, it's 11 years old. No.
Dude, I still play Skyrim. That's an old game.
That is. That is an old game. Anyway, Hotline Miami, it's fantastic. You should go play it. And the reason why we're bringing it up is for those who don't know what it is or who haven't played it, although I suspect the majority of our regular listening audience are familiar, it was a top-down shooter game where, and it was super ultra-violent, and it was very much... So when all of a sudden you were doing this top-down tracking shot of Keanu running through this house, just destroying people with that shotgun, yeah, Hotline Miami vibes. And it was fantastic. I was here for it. I loved it. It that was, without a question, my favorite action scene in the movie. And interestingly, I will say this is sort of a weak spot of the movie. It's the only one that really kind of... That one and the stairs are the only ones that really stand out. I think
everything was loaded. Else, I was going to use this as my negative later, but it kind of expands on the overall negative. And we're going to go off script here. There were a lot of the action sequences that felt... You felt the choreography going on. Like, you watched it, you felt like, oh, he's just waiting for Keanu to get over in this position, and then he's going to do the thing. And then, so there was a lot of the action sequences that felt very scripted. Like the, when he's going through the, like, Samurai Museum area, a lot of that felt very scripted, very, like, we need to wait for the thing to happen, and then my turn in the fight comes. The dragon's breath, the overhead dragon's breath scene and the stairway scene, they stand out because they didn't feel that way. They felt more like the classic whip fight scenes where my suspension of disbelief was much more in play. I was having much better time watching those.
Well, and that brings me to, I think part of the reason why everything felt so scripted with the majority of the action scenes and why I feel like a lot of the action set pieces weren't as memorable as they were in the other John Wick movies is because this is my actual beef. Everyone was fucking bulletproof.
Yeah.
Like
now everybody just has the bulletproof suits and there's no limit to how bulletproofy they are.
Yeah.
Again, like when I was pointing, these things are just taking rifle rounds. And there's one point near the end of the movie where he's taking off his bulletproof stuff and you can hear bullets like,
which I did actually like that. I liked that. That was fun.
I liked that particular part of it. But I'm like, this dude has taken so much gunfire that like a lead trap guy should come by and collect it so he can go turn it in for money.
And that's so. And this is kind of my thing, right? Like, and this is my beef with the fourth movie in general, and why I wouldn't rank it in the top three John Wick movies. To be perfectly honest, I think it's the fourth best John Wick movie. Is it still a better action movie than a lot of the crap that we get? Yeah, 100%. But I think my problem is, all right, so I am in this situation where my suspension of disbelief allows me to treat Keanu Reeves as a comic book character, right? So I don't mind him not getting shot or not taking damage. But what I
just in general having that like higher hit point pool than average because he's a main character.
Yeah.
Like I use this same theory when I look at Tyler Rake in the Extraction movies. Like he's the main character. He has more hit points.
Yeah, exactly. You know, interesting. That's an interesting comparison. And I want to come back to that in a minute. But my thing with this is what I felt like they were trying to do was use the bulletproof suits as a narrative device to avoid giving the character plot armor and instead giving him actual armor. But the end result of it was they show him get shot so much in the bulletproof suit that he ends up having plot armor anyway, but in a way that didn't really work for me. And it may have worked for other people. I would have just preferred that, like, the bad guys were stormtroopers and can't hit shit. And, you know, maybe he gets winged here or there or something like that. But I felt like they took the bulletproof suit to an extreme that made it kind of comical. Like the ninja scene, what stands out to me about that great, that fight in the Tokyo Continental. Was it Tokyo? It wasn't Tokyo.
Yeah, it was Japan. I don't remember if it was Tokyo. Whatever.
So that fight in the Japanese Continental, that should have been an epic set piece, but I just remember being like, okay, he's got to shoot him and then kick him. All right, now he's got to peel his neck back and shoot him in the neck. And like, you kind of see what's going to happen. But I think that's why the Paris fight scene worked better, is because that was just like every gun thug in Paris is coming out to try to get a piece of John Wick. They're not all bulletproof. Some of them were, but most of them weren't. And I
most of them weren't. Only like the main guy with his TTI Glock or his agency Glock. I think it was an agency Glock. Like only he had like the good stuff, and everybody else just wanted a quick payday and they were in the network.
Yeah.
And so that fight felt more genuine and brutal, kind of like the original fights.
I think that was my biggest beat.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
I do have a secondary beef, which was why was Dog Guy there? I felt like his plot line did not get explained.
He was just like, we need other guy. We need another guy. And like, this was just kind of what they came up with. And they're like, oh, but he'll have a dog and that'll tie into, you know, the dog plot line because John likes dogs.
Did you feel at all that that character was written for Halle Berry and she decided not to come back for that for the fourth movie?
I think so, because he, like, the dog breeds the same or similar. If it had been Halle, I think that storyline would have been better fleshed out and you could have had more of a, you know, she's kind of fighting the fact that, oh, well, that's a ton of money and some good standing with the high table and everything like that. And John was kind of a dick to me, but like, I owe John. So there could have been a lot of conflict there. Instead, we just kind of get him like, hey, I'm generic, you know, dog bounty hunter guy. And I use a lever action 357
for some
reason. He was
dog the bounty hunter. He had a dog and he was a bounty hunter. Oh, Lord in heaven. He did have a cool ass gun though. Y'all know I'm a sucker for lever action rifles, and he did have a cool ass lever action rifle. But yeah, I felt like, I mean, those were probably my two biggest beefs, was that there were too many bulletproof people, and why was Dog Guy there? Because I really don't feel like Dog Guy. Like, I feel like if you went through and you kind of just removed Dog Guy from the story, he acts as a Deus Ex Machina at one point that you could have used someone else for.
You could have used either an established character that we hadn't seen already, or you could have it. He didn't need to be there. He didn't drive any plot that couldn't have been driven, you know, with another way, with another character, either main bad guy henchman or, you know, blind guy, reluctant assassin. Like,
I will say I loved Hiroyuki Sanada's character, and I liked his daughter's character as well.
I was hoping she was going to come back in at some point. There was going to be some additional conflict there, but there's probably going to be a fifth one, so we'll see.
Let's talk about that.
I genuinely don't know.
Don't think that there. I I think that both Keanu and Chad, the director, are done with the franchise, and not in a negative way. I think they wrote the story to end it. I mean, all right, hang on, guys. Big spoiler alert for John Wick 4 in 3, 2, 1. He's fucking dead.
Yeah, there's a headstone at the
end. He dies in the end of the movie. And I don't want it to be one of those. And like, I hung out for the after credit scene because I was like, I swear if they okey-doke me like they did in the dark, whatever the third Batman Christian Bale movie was, like if they give me an okey-doke here and he's actually alive and like, I don't know, on an island somewhere with Halle Berry or some damn thing, I'm going to be upset. He needed to die. And I think, and that's actually why, like on the balance, despite everyone being bulletproof and despite Dog Guy not making any sense, on the balance, I really liked the movie and I liked it because it ended the story. And you don't see that a lot these days with these big tentpole franchises because the studios are like, but we love the money. We love the money so much. And they don't want to kill off the characters or anything like that. So, you know, the fact that he actually died.
However, I'm going to interrupt here. From 7 days ago, John Wick 5 potential release cast and everything we know.
Yeah, but hold up. Is that one of those websites that just does that for SEO?
It very well could be. And there's another one here from, you know, July 19th that says it's officially in the works, which doesn't mean anything, guys. Officially in the works just means they're considering it, which they would be silly not to consider it. It's just like, when we see an actual trailer for it, we'll know it's gotten to that point. If we never see a trailer for it, it got shelved. But they are definitely considering it.
So here's a quote from the director. And he said, in our minds, Keanu and I are done for the moment. We're going to give John Wick a rest. I'm sure the studio has a plan. If everyone loves it and it goes kooky, then we'll take a quiet minute. I'm looking here because it made like a hojillion. It made $432 million against a budget of like $100 million. So you know,
when you hit above that 3x multiplier, the studio is automatically going to be like sequel.
Yeah, they're going to be touching themselves thinking about it. But all right, so Keith, give me one more. All right, so we'll do this. You go first. Give me your negative.
My biggest single negative, the thing I disliked most about this movie, and I rewatched it again last night for this review. I hated the stupid horse scene at the beginning.
Oh, when he was chasing the guys on the
horse? Yeah, when he was just chasing these guys through the desert on a horse, and for some reason he just sucks at shooting right then because they just need him to keep chasing these guys on the horses for a while. And at one point you get this panning shot with like the big bad standing on a mountain, and then you get this panning shot and he misses by such a degree that like a rock explodes. And it's miles from these dudes who are running in front of him. And I'm just like, no, why? Why are we here again? Why are we still, like, in 3, my biggest irritant in the whole movie was the weird-ass desert journey that he went on. And then we're back. We're back in this. We're back in, like, him chasing two dudes on a horse for some reason and him, like, sucking at shooting while on a horse. And it's just, like, no, didn't need this. We could have opened with him, like, chatting with the big bad guy on the rug, him just doing that part of the scene, and then smoking that dude and going, and we would have had the same opening.
I would actually, fun BTS, the scene with the high table guy or whatever the hell he's called, and the horses, that was actually the last scenes that they shot of the movie. That was what they wrapped with. And it was completely unnecessary. And here's my 2 cents on that. Completely unnecessary to the film. Like, you didn't even need it. Like, you could have had, you know, you could have accomplished that bit with a line of dialogue between him and the Bowery thing.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like it could have been with him and King or him and Winston. Like they could have opened like with Winston going, John, did you think that was wise?
Yeah.
And explaining how he killed, you know,
the guy.
Desert but guy.
I do think if you wanted to do it the way that they did it, yeah, the horseback chase scene, completely unnecessary. But I think the you probably should have just used him
addressing the dude on the carpet, because that establishing shot where he's like looking down watching this chase go on, and then he's just magically down sitting on his carpet next to his like teapots and shit and his hookahs and shit, and it's just like, what?
Yeah,
you moved really fast, dude.
Yeah. Which that brings me to one other thing, and this isn't a negative with the movie, but like RIP Lance Reddick.
Yeah,
that was, and I mean, it was like right before the movie came out, like his last major movie role is him getting murked by some dirty Frenchman.
Yeah,
that sucked. Like, I liked his character a lot in the movies anyways, and he got, and his character got done dirty. And obviously, they didn't know that he was going to get. He was
no,
gonna
they
die
didn't know
for
that,
real.
Like, this is going to be it, Lance.
Yeah. So
but like, that compared to how his death got handled in Destiny, the game, where he was a huge part, and he was a player. He was a huge part in the Destiny game. Like they handled his death a lot better, and in the game, and I was playing at the time, and it was just like. Very, very clearly they handled that well. I don't know if they could have, obviously the movie had wrapped and it was,
yeah,
you know,
there wasn't anything they could do it with. I mean, he was doing press for it. That was what was crazy. Like he was literally on the press tour in a hotel, like holy cow. So yep. that was a bummer. Cause I liked his character. Yeah. All right. So let's go. So final thoughts on the balance John Wick 4, I would give it, if I'm going to rank the John Wick movies in order that from best to worst, mm-hmm. number two is the cream of the crop for me. I would go 2, 1, 3, 4 from top to bottom.
I would agree.
I think two is the peak of the technical fighting, the gun stuff. It gives you the gun nerdy stuff without getting too like, this mm-hmm. is a TTI commercial. One is the OG, and it's great because the violence is just so in your face. I think
my suspension of disbelief for two and one are fantastic.
Yeah.
Like they're it's very strong. I'm having a great time all the way through. It wasn't until three that I started, and still watching them. It isn't till three that I start looking at it and going, man, meh. I don't have those man moments where I'm like.
I think for me, the scene in three where he like uses the horse to kill guys by kicking him in the face was where I had to like really cinch up my suspenders of disbelief and be like, all right, here we go. He's Batman now. He's not John Wick. He's Batman. Because and that's
like,
I think,
you treat him kind of like a comic book hero, but at the same time, there was a dirty grounding to his,
in one and two
that. Very, especially in one and two that are very, very.
It gets very lost a little bit in three and four, yeah.
Yeah.
But that is not to say that a movie is the fourth best John Wick movie means that it's still a pretty damn good movie because on the balance,
it was a strong movie.
I walked out of the theater and because I actually saw it in theaters. It's I hadn't seen a movie in theaters since like Avengers Endgame, and I went and saw that one at an Alamo Drafthouse in Texas. And I enjoyed it. I had a good time in the theater. I had fun talking about it with the people I went to see it with. Some of the people I went to see it with. And all in all, I would, you know, I've watched it again since then, and it's in my rotation. It's like it's a, you know what it has become? Like many, like all the other movies in the franchise, it has become a hotel remote drop for me. If I am flipping through the channels in some hotel in BFE, Nebraska or wherever, and I'm like, ooh, John Wick 4, toss the remote on the bed. I've got my background noise. I'm set.
Yep. strong play, had fun with it, liked it overall. It was definitely, it is the fourth in the franchise, and it's my fourth favorite of the franchise, and fourth favorite being very deliberate word choice, because I do like it. I'll still watch the whole series front to back again. It'd be a fun binge day.
We have John Wick days in this house.
Yeah. Like it'd be a good time. It's just, there were enough points in it, especially like the roundabout scene. Everything about the roundabout scene was like, and now we have to stand here and let the car go by. And now I get hit by the car again. Now we shoot each other as the car goes by. It felt very, very scripted. And unlike some of the better fight scenes, like the Dragon's Breath and the stairway scene, which I think again are the two pinnacle fights in the whole thing. Those two, everything else had a too strong air of scripting to it for me to rank this higher.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, obviously, like, it's a scripted movie, but
definitely a script going on here, but there's shooting it well and choreographing it well, so you don't feel like it, so that those suspenders get, you know, they feel comfy. They're not too tight and too highly hiked.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed our review of John Wick 4. If you have your own thoughts and opinions on John Wick 4, please make sure to leave them in the comments, or to email us at whatever email address is associated with the show, or, you know, DM us on social media, all of those fun things. Make sure that you like, share, subscribe, perform all of the actions that help us up, get bumped up in the algorithm, because despite the fact that this now officially counts as a successful podcast, we still appreciate your help on getting these episodes out to your friends and family, especially the more mainstream episodes like the John Wick ones. You know, this isn't like a gun nerd episode. This is like,
it's a movie nerd episode.
Yeah. Which all of us are. And, you know, please send out your thoughts and prayers for Jack and his horrible IBS.
I got a Snapchat from him a few minutes ago. It was a 10th burrito, so good luck.
Why with the burritos? All right, guys, we'll be back next week with another episode.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.